You're listening to Ignite Your Success, a podcast that inspires fitness professionals to build a strong business that enables them to serve more people and engineer the lifestyle they desire. It's Brad Shepherd here, and together with Jason Yabanowicz, we're best known for running Trainer HQ, a community of passionate and profit-hungry fitness business owners that make a massive difference in others' lives every day. Each episode, we'll unpack for you exactly what's working and deliver best practice strategies so you can confidently grow your business and make a huge impact.
All right, welcome to another edition of Ignite Your Ultimate Success. I am joined here today with a very special guest, Mr. Brad Davis.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's the first nice thing you've said to me all day. I like it.
Yeah, that was forced too, to be honest. I had to, only because the camera's on or the audio's on, otherwise it would have been, you know, a lot worse. What I like about this setup, if you want to get your thing, it's just I feel like I'm on the news desk. But you're listening on the podcast, we're just
over to you, Shep.
Basically just got our books showing that we've been writing stuff down.
We're busy.
There's nothing really written down there.
Looks professional.
So great to have you in, mate. And I guess today we're going to cover the topic of sales. And it's a topic that I think doesn't get addressed enough in our industry specifically, or people don't put enough time and energy into it. And we're going to cover, because there's a lot of facets of sales, right? We're going to cover the framework and why it's important to have a framework to get better conversions. But before we do that, for people who may not have met you before, know who you are, weird, I know, must be living under a rock. Give the listeners or people watching this on YouTube, I guess, your background in the industry. Where did you start and what was your journey up until this point?
Yeah, so my name's Jason Yabanowicz. That's right. So started in the fitness industry, did the classic. I thought I had to book myself out. I thought that was the thing that PTs needed to do. I need to get as many sessions under my belt as I possibly can, which fortunately or unfortunately, I succeeded at. Got 60-odd sessions a week.
Shit.
Fell into all of the yeah, that's right. Fell into all of the problems. Didn't have the systems, processes. I was working 70-plus hours. Started having big impacts on myself as a person and just wasn't enjoying it whatsoever.
I feel exhausted just hearing that. Yeah, 70 mate, hours. Sweating.
Yeah, so got to a point where I couldn't continue what I was doing. Had to make a choice, had to make a decision. Am I going to learn how to run a business or am I going to exit the industry? Because continuing that was not an option for me and for a lot of other people in the fitness industry I know have faced the same. So at that point, met up with Create PT Wealth back then.
Yeah, before we were Trainer HQ.
Got myself a coach, started learning that the systems, the processes, the procedures that I needed to start growing the income but actually reducing my time so that I could actually, you know, stay in the industry and keep doing the job and running the business in the industry that I love. From then, snapshot over the next kind of 3 years, built a team of trainers, got up to 9 trainers, got myself a gym as well in WA, in Mandarin, WA, and then became coach. Loved that business, loved running a team, started coaching on the side as well, so I was doing those two aspects for Trainer HQ, and then decided to move myself over to Queensland about 2 years ago now, just over, to be closer to Trainer HQ and the boys, and just wanted to further my knowledge in the industry as a coach more than a personal trainer or a gym owner, so made that decision to come over. Been with Trainer HQ ever since.
Yeah, a couple of things I liked about what you said and it's worth noting is the you know, you heard right from the start when Brad was talking about the amount of sessions he was doing. So he probably maybe lacked the business acumen back then, a fancy word. however, your drive was there. So I'm often saying to people, one thing we can't teach as coaches is someone to have that drive, determination, that work ethic. So you had that. Some people like the idea of building a successful business, just like some people like the idea of getting in really good shape, but doing it another thing. So I want to acknowledge that. Anyone listening going, that's the part that, you know, if you know honestly yourself, your work ethic, your habits aren't there, that's definitely a place to start. No, there's no magic pill or no magic formula that's going to change that. So that's definitely things you got to look at, is what are your innate habits and drive when it comes to your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have a tendency to be lazy, maybe your business is not a thing for you. The second part is you come over, you did set yourself up, bought the property, you know, so there's some really good achievements that you've done in that short period of time. And then over the last 12 months, which will segue into today, is that your sales is an area that you've really embraced, which again, I think if you're in business and you don't, and that's part of your role, you're not spending time, energy, investing into being better at sales and understanding the psychology of it. You're really doing yourself a disadvantage. So for the last 12 months, you've been involved in, you know, high level sales, right?
Yeah, high ticket sales role. So full time, just being on closer calls and closing deals.
And you already, what I would consider to be good at sales prior to that in the industry, right? So you were, you know, selling NPT, gym memberships, a whole bit.
Yeah,
and, you know, correct, done plenty of training prior to that. So we'll get to like how has this now transcended you to another level. I'm sure doing it full time for that period of time helped.
Absolutely.
But let's get into your, I want to more get an understanding of where you're at with why is the sales skill set so important? So why is it so important to invest time, energy and money in this area, do you believe?
It's the growth. Yep. It's the main ingredient to the growth, recipe of growth in business. If you're not good at sales, if you're not enjoying sales, if you don't know how to sell, or if you're not upskilling yourself in that area, running a business is going to be very challenging and become very unenjoyable.
And you've worked with a lot of people, right? So you've been, you know, one of our high-level coaches for a while now. You've got to work with a lot of people in their businesses, which I think there's nothing like that, to be able to see firsthand how people present. What do you notice, I guess, at a general level, and I know it's a generalization, but what do you notice when you start working with people in regards to their maybe their mindset or with sales when they come to us to start with or you work with them?
Yeah, it's something that people push to the side or they're scared about because they had a bad experience themselves, right, perhaps. And I feel as though, I guess, having a bad experience and not wanting to be a salesperson, that's a big...
A stigma attached
to
it.
Yeah, it's a big mindset and something that needs to be overcome straight away in business, right? Because in business, you need to be great at sales. I think the other part is not understanding the importance of it. I mean, if you could generate, if you're great at generating leads and you have hundreds of leads coming into your business every day, but you don't know how to sell, those leads are worth nothing. You're just as well off as someone that's generating no leads.
It's so true.
Yeah. So understanding the importance of sales as well. And another, I've probably got a few things here, but having fun, understanding that sales can be something that's actually quite enjoyable as well. And probably one of the biggest learnings for me over the last 12 months is it can be something that's really enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing, right? Because I guess like if you're selling some version of yourself, do you feel like it's that, I mean, it's a broad subject, right? There's a lot of different facets, the mindsets, your beliefs, fear of rejection, all these things. And I know there's a myth that I see in the industry, or maybe a common perception that, oh, I'm not in it for the money, you know, I'm in it to help people. Well, you can't fucking help anybody if you haven't got any clients.
That's correct. That's right.
So it's that internal battle, right? Yeah. Like, oh, I want clients, but also I don't feel comfortable doing the sales part.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, that's why a lot of people don't make it.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So you got a choice, right? You rather, like you were saying, get good at it and have fun with it. I mean, anyone who's been following us or knows us know that we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we take what we do very seriously. There's no reason why it should be this awkward, stressful experience, right?
If you never work on that mindset, if you come into business with that mindset of, oh, I don't want to be a salesperson, I don't want to be pushy, but having no idea, actually having to do it and keep pushing it to the side, guess what? It's never going to get better. It's never going to improve. It's like not making your bed in the morning. If I leave that for long enough, maybe it's going to make itself. It doesn't. I've tried it for 35 years.
Yeah, me too. It's a bit like trying to meditate a Ferrari in your driveway. I've definitely had that a go. It doesn't work, apparently.
Not yet, anyway.
So we've covered, I guess, some general conceptions about sales, and I think anyone who's listening maybe go, I've got that limiting negative language around it, which you know, just stops you from doing anything proactive, right?
Absolutely.
You know, when you go, I don't like sales, I'm being pushy. Well, that's, you're telling yourself that you're not open to a different way or solution. So I talk about having a better relationship with things, like what's your relationship with money? You know, what's your relationship with sales? What's your relationship with business? Because obviously the results speak for themselves, right? Statistics don't lie. So improving your relationship with sales, like you said, like what if sales was fun?
Yeah.
What if it's enjoyable? What about it means you get to help more people, have more freedom, have more flexibility, have more, you know, financial independence? That's the shit I would be talking about.
Yeah.
That's a result of sales, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you've experienced?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The more you push it away, you're not going to get better at it. The more you can understand and learn and invest your time and energy into it, that becomes really fun. And as business owners, I love working with my clients and business owners now, because as you're the business owner, you get to choose.
Yeah.
You get to, there's not one way to sell. There's 100 different ways to sell. True. And some of the best salespeople that I've worked with or watched or studied, some of their trainings or tactics, other sales coaches will go, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But that's what it works. Yeah. It works for them, and that's the way they enjoy doing it. So the thing I love about sales is there's not A, B, C, D. There's not one way to do it. You can play around with it.
Yeah.
You can have fun with it. You can put your passion and personality into it. And I really feel like when people start learning, wow, sales isn't that thing that I need to keep pushing to the side and hoping it's going to get better. Sales is this thing that the more, like me, the more I learned about it, the more hooked I got. And I'm like, man, there's so many cool techniques and ways to do this that it became really enjoyable. And when I first started my fitness business, would I consider myself someone that is just absolutely just studying sales every day and thinking about it and talking to Jace about it on a daily basis? No, not at all.
No.
But I've learned to really appreciate and enjoy and understand it over the journey, and it's just getting me more hooked.
I think that's it. But no one's really sitting in there doing their certification going, I can't wait to be a top-level salesperson.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to help people, but you quickly learn that reality hits. I like everything you were saying, and it's so important. Like anything you do new, it's going to be uncomfortable and rigid, but eventually you keep assisting, you get better at it, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the key parts I like. And we were just talking earlier prior to doing this out there, and you said everyone has a different approach. Like, so you'll see Brad Shepherd will have a different, slightly different way than how I will do it. But the framework is very similar. Like, so our objective for what we're aiming to do and what we're trying to achieve with the sales process is very similar. Even though we might have a different, slightly different way to word it or ask the questions. So let's dive into that part then, because again, like I hear people go, oh, I'm not a natural salesperson, or I am a natural salesperson. For me, if I hear someone say, oh, I'm just naturally good at sales, I think bullshit you are. You probably just over talk, right? And then the person goes, oh, I'm not really good at sales. You know, they're the people that I find might be better naturally, but they just got to learn the skill set. So sales is not about having a natural talent. It's a skill set, and like any skill set you can learn. But why is there an importance around having a framework? And that's the purpose of today, is like, why learn and understand a framework for selling? Or do you think that's important from your experience?
Yeah, it's something that I didn't have at the start. And the reason I didn't have it is because I was in an industry, I was passionate about helping people. And whatever I was doing, I would hate to even think back what I was doing back then, but it worked.
Yeah.
I was able to sign clients to the gym. I was able to sign PT clients. So I thought, okay, there's no problem there.
Yeah.
That's okay. I can keep working with that. But the more I've learned about sales and so many different ways to do different things, I've appreciated different tactics. I've appreciated different ways of being able to do it. And I think that's the enjoyment.
Mm.
I believe that's where the enjoyment comes. That's where you can choose how to onboard clients into your business. You can choose how to help people. And I think helping people is a big aspect to it as well. You talk about, you know, different people. You've got a different, I guess, approach to sales than what myself or Brad Shep does. I think if the prospect on the other end of the line, they feel as though if you're genuinely wanting to help them and you've got the track record and they like you as a likability is a big part of it, I think that's the important part. No matter how you sell, if people can feel that, that's important.
So framework is important, so you understand the psychology or an outcome, like anything. You know, what's the purpose of this workout? What are you training for? So you go to the gym. Are you just going up and every session's just, oh, I'm just doing whatever I feel like today? that's probably not going to be that productive if you're going for a sporting event or you're trying to get better at a specific sport or bodybuilding comp, right? But training, yeah, just, you know, you go in and train, whatever, just the general fitness, all good. If you're in sales, you've got a specific outcome you're aiming to it. So the framework, from what I'm hearing, saying is the framework makes you understand that if I do these bits this way, you might change the questions because you're in the moment and you're not robotic, you're not going off a script, but you do have an understanding about what am I trying to achieve when I do it. So give us your understanding of, so like you're sitting down with myself, we're about to do a sales consult, I've got some challenges in my business, I'm struggling to make the income I want to make. What's your thinking with your framework before you go on that session? What are you going into that sales first meeting with? What's your purpose for it?
On specifically what you've just explained, it's a problem. If you're having a problem and in business, let's say, if you're having a problem in business, I want to understand that.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we're the right fit, because we might not even be the right fit. My product might not be the right fit. So I've got to ask questions to understand the problem. And then I feel as though a great salesperson is someone that asks the correct questions to understand the problem, but then highlights the impact that problem is actually having on the prospect. They might not even know the impact of the problem. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So you might go, oh, look, I'm struggling to get leads. I think the problem is I'm not getting enough leads. But what you're saying is, with the right questionings asked at the right time, I go, fuck, actually, that's not the problem. It's way bigger than what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Like, no, that's correct. Mm. That's absolutely correct. And the understanding the impact of what is that doing to the business, and you know, they might think that's the problem, it might be something else. What impact is that having in business? And then what impact is that having in their life as well?
I love that. And that's what so many outdated sales processes, or people that have had a bad experience with sales and don't like sales themselves, have probably have occurred, that someone hasn't known how to ask the right questions at the right time and the right tone to truly understand what's going on. I guess it's no different than someone going, oh, I would be in shape if I had more time. Well, time's not the issue.
Yeah.
That's not the issue. But in their mind, they think it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then understanding, what do you mean by out of shape? What does that mean to you?
Yeah.
How long has that been going on for? What's the reason why you're changing now? What has just happened recently?
Yeah.
What other areas of this of your life is this having an impact on?
So you're guiding them by asking the right questions to go, well, you said time, but time's not really the issue.
And now it's gone back to, oh, this is way bigger than what I thought it was. I thought I was just out of shape because I didn't have time. Now, gee, I think this is having an impact on my life. I think it might be having an impact on my confidence or my ability to exceed at work or relationships or what have you. So I think asking the right questions and understanding the problem is such a powerful thing that could be overlooked a lot of the times these days.
Yeah, and I like that bit too, like before you even jump the gun about, and I think a lot of people in sales, they start stressing before they even get into the appointment, right? Because they're thinking about, I've got to get the sale, rather than you're saying, and I agree 100% with this, is going, well, first thing first, let's see if we can identify what the problem is and can we actually help solve it for that person? Do they agree they have that problem? Because if they don't agree with it, the conversation's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you're meaning, right? So that's if you listen to this, this is fundamentally profound but important stuff that you won't hear a lot of places, that it's good to learn sales methods, techniques, overcoming objections, but this stuff is so critically important.
If you don't get the foundational stuff right, you can use all the techniques.
Yeah,
there's going to be that disconnect.
Not matter.
Yeah.
This shit about, oh, this is how you close and this is the best way to overcome objections. That's so outdated and old, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's funny because it just comes back to asking questions.
Yeah.
Understanding the person in front of you, genuinely caring as well. Anybody can do these things.
Yeah.
Anybody can do these things.
So we do that bit. So that's your thinking going in. So let's say that I agree and you go, yep, I can definitely help you. That's the way the combo is going. Mm-hmm. We've identified the problem and how is it then, like, if that doesn't get rectified, what's going to be the consequences?
Yeah,
is that where
consequence
you move to?
Questions. Yeah,
yeah, so consequences. Oh, yeah. So that's where we're to move. And then what typically occurs at that stage? What have you noticed, I guess, for the person you're speaking to when you're starting to dive into the consequence questions?
I have learned that a lot of the time, people don't understand the consequences themselves. So yeah. once again, as a great, let's say salesperson, as a great salesperson asking the right questions, then you're highlighting the consequence that it's going to be to this right. person. So for Jace's example, they're trying to lose weight because they thought they didn't have enough time. What happens if you don't lose the weight?
Yeah.
What happens if you don't change in 12 months? What are the consequences going to be for that?
Yeah, right. And you're okay with that.
Are you okay to settle for that?
Yeah. And ultimately, the thing I love about the way we do sales and your approach is the same, is that you're helping them to overcome their own objections, to find their own solutions, to be more intrinsically motivated to make change, rather than me thinking I'm doing some secretive sales technique on you. You're helping them by the right questions to come up with their own solutions.
Absolutely. You've taught me over the years, big fella, that it's the tell and sell, right? Anybody can walk in and say, hey, I'm the best personal trainer. This is my prices. This is what you should do. Mm. You know, and we still see a lot of people doing that. It's probably how I started as well, because I was uneducated, you know. Yeah. But understanding, you know, and asking the right questions and allowing them to yeah. come up with their own answers, that's how people are going to make a shift and a change and commit to something.
Yeah, so that part, there's a consequence they're starting to understand. And look, at the end of the day, if people don't have that emotional response, they typically don't do anything.
Mm.
And I know for some people in a sales role, they don't always like the fact that someone may get emotional either way. And again, that's something you do need to become comfortable with and get better at, because people only make decisions, life-changing decisions and things that are important, when they have an emotional response, right? And you probably heard it, then they can justify it on the logic, but unless that emotional internal drivers are going off, they probably won't do anything.
Yeah.
And hence where the tell and sell really falls flat.
Absolutely. Anybody can tell and tell someone what they should do, and the first reaction when someone is told what to do,
yeah,
A lot of people don't like it, right?
So the internal get fucked.
Yeah, that's right. So the tell and sell, what we're finding is that's old. But asking the questions and understanding and genuinely caring about these people and asking the questions so that they can come up with the answers and they can come up with the solutions.
Yeah.
I think that's where the power hold is held.
And other traps you think you've, like, and hopefully this makes sense so you can answer it, any other traps you see that people that, I guess, are maybe what I'd say underskilled, undereducated, practice in sales, things that they're probably doing that's, you know, counterproductive?
Yeah.
I mean, we did the tell and sell is one thing.
Tell and sell. I mean, there's a lot, right? There's potentially a lot. Another thing that probably just comes into my head straight up is probably rushing it.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. And just... This is what I call commission breath, right? If someone knows
commission breath.
If someone knows that you're just after the deal and you just want that additional $60 a week or 90 or 100 or however much it is, and you're pushing for the sale, I call that commission breath. And the prospect can smell it a mile away, and it stinks, right? And it's yeah. not good. Once they smell that, once they catch drift of that, they're not interested. And I feel like rushing the process
yeah.
is a great way to enhance your commission breath, but slowing it down, understanding.
Yeah,
what the prospect wants, understanding the pain, understanding the consequences, the impacts, everything that we've been talking about, I feel as though slowing it down is going to happen naturally when you get good at all that stuff.
And because when you said rushing, it also made me think, like, and I've been guilty of this in the past as well, and it can be sometimes a personality thing or just under stress or being nervous, doing too much of the talking. So, you know, you may have said something and it's triggered me off, and then I'm in a justification, or I'm, you know, talking at you rather than asking the next question to gain clarity, which is, I think, what you mean by slowing it down, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So many times people can ask a question, but they haven't really understood why the person's asking in the first place. But yet I've gone to over justification yeah. or talking too much to only find out it wasn't really what you're asking me anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a throwaway line. So getting clarity and slowing things down.
Absolutely.
And I don't know if this is relevant, but the one I used to teach seminars is that, again, if someone asks a question and you're not sure, like, how much, you know, oh, it's probably a bit expensive, rather than doing the old sales technique, well, you know, what's more expensive, you know, your health or your, you know, getting in shape, you know, and like going rather than saying, well, what makes you say that? Which is my go-to for anything. If I'm even in the moment, I'm not sure what else I need to say. If I'm not clear, and I just go, "What makes you say that?" I don't have time. I don't think I'm going to have time for this. What makes you say that? I think I'm forward. What makes you say that? I need to ask my partner. Oh, what makes you say that? But it's a tone. So the way I said it, like, "Oh, what makes you say that?" It's a curious tone, which I've only just from following a couple other people in sales that I might have heard that language. It was just something I naturally would do to be curious. Rather than go, oh, what makes you say that? Yeah. Tone is everything, right? It's a big, big thing, pace and pitch as well. So that's one thing, I think people can over-talk and get pushy or get forceful if under that set of circumstances, slow it down.
And usually on what you're saying as well, usually checking yourself and having an internal check-in before you go into a sales meeting. Because if I've just had a fight with a prospect or my partner or the neighbor or whatever, road rage, and then I'm on the phone to a sales, probably not the best way to show up, right? And it's going to be quite challenging for me to be calm, use the right tonality, genuinely care about this person, ask questions, slow it down. So I probably need to check in with myself and just take a couple of deep breaths or thumb and finger technique or whatever it is for you, and just make sure you're going into that meeting just yourself and just nice, calm, relaxed and neutral.
Yeah, I love it. And then so the consequence part of the framework, so, you know, we've done the exploring the problem, making sure we can understand what it is, truly help them to see that it's probably greater than what they originally showed up to the meeting about, how it's impacting them, getting the agreement that they want to fix this problem. It's something they actually do want help with. We've asked them then the consequence if they were to ignore it, which in my opinion, it's being professional. If you're not doing that, regardless of you, like, I don't really want to bring out somebody's discomfort, or I want to make them feel, you know, a certain way, then you are letting that person down. You are not doing a good job if you don't do that. So hear me clearly that it's your responsibility as a professional, as an expert, to make them aware that if they were to ignore their current situation, and it's about getting them to tell themselves what that's going to be, because it's going to happen anyway, then you are letting that person down. You've done that. What typically in your framework do you do next then? So you've seen that unfold. What's the next process for you?
My typical go-to here is understanding what they do want.
Yeah.
Setting goals. What does the future look like? What is the perfect case scenario for them?
Yeah.
Understanding where they want to be. Understanding the positive impacts that that's going to have on their life. Understanding exactly that. There's where, in the perfect case scenario, where they would want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So they've seen where they potentially will be if they don't do anything. And now, okay, well, look, we don't want to wallow in that. You realize that that's not going to be a great spot. So now you're looking at, okay, well, where's the future hold? Yeah. So you do that. And then is there that part that you would then be talking about then, well, how do you solve that? Is that what comes next?
Yeah, correct. Once you, for me, and there's a hundred ways to do this, but for me, I'd love to understand where the prospect wants to be. What does that look like? What does it feel like? Understanding that there's a gap.
Yep.
There's a gap from where they are to where they want to be, making that very clear, and then it would go into the next part.
And then as you explain, these are the ways that you solve it as a solution to their problem. The gap is a good analogy, because if it's not a big enough gap, again, people might cite money or they're not committed enough. You've done all the part about how you would do it. Like you said, there's a heap of different ways that you can then start to explain how you solve these problems for people. Then do you check in? Like, so once you've done that, do you get clarity? Do you get some acknowledgement that what you've explained would be the answer to their prayers? Or is that what happens?
Yeah, checking in with them is probably a good thing to do throughout.
Yeah.
At every stage, you know, I feel as though understanding how they're feeling at every point, and same thing, slowing it down and just asking questions, I feel like that's important. But something that you mentioned really important is the solution, right? Like, is... Number one is what we provide the solution to getting them from A to B, and then it's starting to dive into that and what that looks like.
Yeah. All right. So then they go. They're either going to go, yeah, this is feeling like it's going to solve and what I've been looking for. We were talking about earlier, some people will give you, you know, short responses, and other people will be more forthcoming with explaining why. If I don't get a more in-depth one, I know I personally go, well, okay, so from what I've explained, it does sound, it feels like this is what you're looking for, also feels like it'll be the solution that can fix this. Yeah. Why is that? Why are you feeling that? I actually want to hear from them. Sincerely, yeah. I sincerely want to hear that what I've said has matched up with what they're looking for and why, in their own words, they feel like it. On the other side of it is they are then, they're doing their own selling. They're selling themselves into this solution. I've just given them the information. Is that typically your approach, or you agree with that?
I absolutely agree. It's my approach. And then on the other end, if they're not, I wouldn't say this happens a lot, but if they're not feeling like with what you're providing with your product or service is going to be the solution to their problem or to get them from A to B, great. At least we know now, because if you start pitching a product or going into value add, they've switched off. Maybe they've come to a realization themselves. And I feel like if you don't do the check-in, I've done it before and I haven't done the check-in properly, and then I just feel like I'm pushing this product onto them and I don't know where they
kind of feels hard too, doesn't it? It feels hard and forceful.
And I personally hate that feeling. So for me, checking in is important. And if they feel as though they've come to their own realization of what they need to do, great, that's great. I'd probably ask some more questions around that. But making sure that the solution that you're providing is in line with what they're wanting and making sure it's an absolute fit.
I like that. And again, I've been in sales consults for people looking at joining TrainHQ, and I've even said, look, I don't feel like we're there yet. Yep. I don't feel like maybe you've connected with what we do, or you're not seeing it just yet. And that's no one's fault. It's more about, like, let's explore that further, because not everyone has to be your client either. And so, again, I want people to have a good experience regardless if they sign up or not. And sometimes people just aren't ready, as good as you are at sales. And then I think this is a trap when people get into sales, they think they should close every single person. It becomes more about the, yes, yeah, I closed them, even though internally you're going, probably not the right fit.
Yeah.
So you've got to be mindful of that, to get great at sales, do everything we're saying. And if you do the framework right, if you get it, you know, we've been giving you the overview tonight, but if you learn this skill and you do it properly, then that will happen less. But it does happen.
Yeah,
it
sure
does happen. Yeah, and absolutely. But you're right, you're way better off addressing it there. And trust your instincts, because that's the thing I've learned, is that, you know, you can be having that internal voice going, they're not there yet. All right, keep pitching anyway. And then you go, I fucking knew that wasn't going to work, because I could just feel they weren't there. So I feel comfortable now to bring it up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a great technique in itself as well, while genuinely caring about this person and saying, hey, I hope this is okay if I can just share some feedback from my end. I personally actually don't think we're there yet because of ABC. Yeah. And you're saying it in a calm, compassionate, caring manner, but law of attraction here, right? If they're not there and I rush into them and lean in harder and go, oh, but what about this and what about this? It's just going to push them further away. But if I lean out, say, hey, I hope this is okay to supply some feedback, or is it okay if I give some feedback? Yeah, of course. I personally don't feel like we're there yet because of these reasons. What we typically find is that they can actually lean in harder because we've leaned out, it's created space, and they've been able to lean in and go, oh, no, well, I'm not sure if that's right. I do like ABC. So that in itself could be a powerful technique.
Yeah, and I personally can't stand when I hear stories or other sales, you know, people teaching sales where it's like this. The only way I can say it's manipulative, let's call it what it is, it's manipulation when you start to get on that path and making the person feel wrong, or there's that fine line. And I guarantee you, buyer's remorse kicks in. That person may feel like they should succumb to that and say yes in the moment, and then I guarantee a day later, nah, I've changed my mind, I'm out. Because and I've heard it time and time again, they go, I felt like I was tricked into it, I was pushed into it.
Yeah.
And I never want to have anyone have that experience. But what you said is that people expect that because they've had so many shit experiences with really shitty salespeople, that when you don't do that and you do pull back, it it throws them, and we want them to be relaxed because no one makes a buying decision when they're stressed or in a confused mind. So by pulling them and saying that, it's like, hang on, I know how to push back when you push harder on me. I don't know what to do now other than, like you said, I'll open up a bit more now too.
Yep. Create that space.
I mean, honest.
The car salesman probably doesn't have a great rap. Sorry for all the car salesmen out there, but
fuck them. The car.
You'd never hear a car salesman go, "Nah, you're right. I don't think this is the car for you. Maybe you should go to another car yard and just check." No, they're going, "Oh, but what about? No, I'll drop the price now. Now we're going into that drop a price."
Yeah, that color blue matches your eyes. You'd be crazy not to drive out of this one. It's the last one too today that we're going. That we've got in stock.
Last one before lunch.
Yeah. So good, really good content and info. And then so I guess they're feeding back to us or to you that, yeah, this is definitely the right decision. Why is it the right decision? And then I guess the last bit to do is the closing, right? So you are actually closing out the meeting or the sales appointment. Well, typically, what's your approach at that point then? So they're like, yep. What do you say? Do you dance around it like, would you like to, sign up? And well, how do you do it?
Yeah.
I'm sure you don't do it like that, but I like that.
I was just enjoying that.
how
long is this going
to be?
Yeah, so I would really, this is an opportunity for me to take authority for the call, right? Sure. It's been a 70-30 split, 70% them talking, 30% maybe even 80-20, right? But you want them, the vast majority, to be doing all the talking and the realizations. At this point, it's an opportunity to be a leader and have that authority and create that authority. They're not looking for a friend here. A lot of people try to be their friend, or if I'm super nice to this person, hopefully they'll sign up. No, this is the opportunity to be a leader and say, hey, from what I've understood and the conversations, I believe that we could be a great fit.
Yeah.
I'm going to run
tone
through.
Again, isn't it? That tone. It's the tone end that's important as well.
Yeah. And I would go through, you know, my pre-pitch, my high-value product. I would go through ABC, what it's valued at, check in with them. Do you feel like from my product of ABC with this value, do you feel like that's the thing missing for you? Do you feel like that's going to get you from A to B?
Yeah.
And again, getting some feedback. But that's the part where I would take leadership, take authority and highlight my product. And if I truly believe it's the solution, I would be going through that part.
Yeah, and understand that what we've run through is we've done all the right frameworks, like we've covered all the framework of the meeting to get to that part where it's the only thing left to do.
Yeah.
So you've got a yes and clarity that they feel it's right. They feel like everything's feeling good for them. It's the solution.
Yep.
There's only one thing to do, and that's the time not to lose the authority and the positioning in it, like where a lot of people can get weird and awkward, like, so what do you think? You know, that's where you're the expert. You're the one who's found out all this information. Don't kill it by then not being confident and assertive in your approach at the end, going, Brad, based on anything we've talked about, I know we can definitely provide a solution. You also agree. Here's my recommendation.
Yep. Here's what a couple of other clients have seen and felt and witnessed in your current situation. I believe we can be a fit. I, from what you were talking about, big fella, it's a really good point that when people get that dance around and that really uncomfortable feeling of like, oh, I've got to pitch this person now.
I could get rejected.
Fear of rejection, all that stuff starts coming up.
What I've said found, then.
I probably did. <That's it. laughs> what I've found is that when and if you're experiencing that, I believe something's missing in your sales presentation.
Yeah.
So the people that I have worked with and you know, continue coaching, we create something here really rock solid. Mm. We create the product, we create the value. Mm. We're very clear on the script that we're talking about. You can personalize it. Don't be a robot by all means and read out the same script for every person. It's you won't get the results and it won't be enjoyable. But understanding your process, knowing exactly when you're walking, you're not going, shit, do I put the left or the right? Or like how far in front do I put it? Oh, I don't know. If you've got that insecurity and that uncertainty, I feel, but no, we know we've done it 100 times, hopefully more than 100 times, but left in front of right. we don't even need to think about it, right? You can practice your sales and your product and your value out enough that just feels like walking. You're just putting one foot in front of the other. So I feel when those emotions come up, what could be the case, and what I've found with my clients is there's something missing in your sales presentation. Mm. There's a hole there. Because at the moment, we should be, we're personal trainers. We're really passionate about helping people. And we're passionate about our product, and we know it works. This is an opportunity to get that across, in my opinion.
I agree. It's a valid point, which is, again, that's why I was a big fan on selling the solution, Trim and Tone Muscle Accelerator, for the niche clients, stemming back from that, because you go, no, it works. We're not really selling personal training. We're selling a solution to your problem. And it is. It's just allowing yourself to feel it in that moment. Because they'll feel it, right? Yep. The person sitting across from you is going to feel that energy from then. If you're dancing around it and you're not feeling confident about it, then they will feel that. And that could be the end of your sale. The next minute you get people going, oh, I just want to think about it based on that alone. So, yeah, you've got to – that's the time to step into your power and present it. And ultimately, still to this day, I think even, you know, the I would love to have you come and join us and – get these results, would you like to come and join us? Are you ready? Whatever your version is, but again, it's not the words, it's the body language and the tone.
And it's about the results, right? It's not the one session a week, the two session a week. That's important. It's a vehicle. Yep. I call that a vehicle. It's how someone is going to get from A to B.
Correct.
They're going to use a vehicle, but that summarized the version that you just shared, it's about the results.
Yeah.
And that's what it needs. That's what this whole meeting, the consult is about.
And not, oh, we're going to give you a diet plan and we're going to train and do some strength training. I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. It's like, have you clearly demonstrated you can solve their problems for them in a specific time frame and outcome? So it's great.
The destination. If I told you, Jace, we're going to Hawaii, 2 weeks, all expenses paid, you know, that's the result. That's the destination. Jace isn't going to go, oh, hang on, how are we getting there?
Where are we sitting? Give a shit. So, to be honest, as you said that, I thought that was legit. And I was going to say, man, I'm out of here. Let's wrap this up real quick.
Vehicle is important, but it's not what people care about. They care about the result and the final destination.
Right. So we're going to do more of these, and we're going to get you back in, and we're going to do more and specific things about, you know, we'll hone in on things like, you know, closing specifically, overcoming objections, all that. But again, today what I love is that it's about giving people the real understanding about sales. You need to go and do the work. You need to get coaches or help, whatever, in the specifics of it, like what we have done. You know, I've been a student of sales for the last 25 years.
And continue to do it. Doesn't stop it there.
And continue to do it, yeah. The moment, again, if selling is a part of your business and you're not investing time into it and you just get lazy and you're winging it, then, you know, again, it's what I call you running the hope plan. You're just hoping it all works out. So do it by design. Get excellent, masterful at it. I had a couple of questions for you, though. So let's start with... mate, I'm going to ask you a question about probably the most important lessons you've learned. Can be in regards to sales or business over, say, the last 2 years. Let's keep it in the last 2 years. So some of the most important lessons you've learned about being in business over the last couple of years, or if you want to be about sales, it can be about sales.
Yeah, well, I think they both relate. There's definitely a correlation there. So simple for me, but I still forget it through my process, but it's enjoy the journey. And it may sound so cliche, but it's so important to me because I have found myself in situations where I stop enjoying it. And then when that enjoyment for me goes, other things start happening, other cracks start forming. So for me, it's making sure I'm putting myself in a position where I love what I'm doing and I'm passionate and I believe what I'm doing. That's really important for me. And if you dig deeper and go to the layer underneath, that would be a lot of the problems that happen in my business or happen in life as well. It's when I'm in an area that I'm not enjoying and I'm not loving. So that for me is number one. And the second one is something when I was working with you, I still consider you a coach and mentor, but over the years and what I've learned from Jace is becoming a better person in the process. And over the last 12 months, you might make a lot of money and you might have a new car and you might have a house, but if you're an unhappy person, a rude or obnoxious or stressed out or what have you, I don't really view that as success. For me, it's about becoming a better person, more enjoyment, more happiness, being able to help more people, showing up in a better version of myself every day. So that's the second most important learning for me.
I love it. The first one, it's a common trap and we see it a lot. And, you know, I definitely had a similar experience as well, starting out going, I'll be happy when I make $100,000, which is not a great approach, because then I made $100,000 and nothing magical happened. I felt the same way and I went, oh, okay, it must be $200,000. And it's, yeah, you're exactly right. It's about enjoying the process and the moment of getting there, and who you become in the process of pursuing those goals are way more important. I totally missed that myself when I was first on my endeavor to be better and achieve the external things I wanted to achieve, but I missed the most important part. And it's like, well, the person I had to become, you know, have more courageous, more patience, more discipline, you know, all these things were the parts that were more important, but I overlooked it. So yeah, it's definitely who you become and the pursuit of your goals will stay with you forever. So I love that one. And I often hear our clients go and talk about where they're not, and I've got to remind them, but when you started with this 12 months ago, you were making $500 a week. You're now making $2,500. You don't work Fridays anymore. You're spending more time with your family, and they're more then focused on, oh, yeah, I should be at $4,000 by now. I want to be here. I'm not there. So it is important to stop and go, who have you become? What have you achieved in that process? But it can be easy to keep looking beyond. And I think social media and all that stuff plays a detrimental part, and sometimes that comparing yourself, and it distracts you from what's really important, which is what you need to be focused on each day. So I love that. Yeah, that's a cool one.
Yeah, the importance of having a coach as well. Listening to
you. The community. Yeah. You haven't surrounded yourself with like-minded people there. I actually was thinking that.
Getting asked questions that you don't normally get asked, or having someone listen to what you say and be able to reflect, someone that knows you. Had a great coaching session with my client, Owen. Owen, and I said, all right, mate, let's check
in. Owen.
Where are we up to? And he goes, oh, yeah, been in this gym for 6 weeks, mate, turning over $3,000 a week. Time management's much better. I get afternoons off, got heaps of time to create my content. So, yeah, mate, it's going good. And I was like, hang on a minute, let's just backtrack. Mate, did you say you're making $3,000 a week? Yeah. And you've got more time than when we started working together? Yeah, I've got like a whole day where I do social media content. I really enjoy doing it. So you're making more money but working less. Have I got that right? Oh, yeah. No, that is pretty cool. Yeah, so having someone that, you know, understands your story and can ask you those questions and really allow you to reflect and reflect with you as well.
All right, let's do the classic one that I like, though. I guess one of your maybe – it doesn't have to be recent, biggest failures, and what did you learn from it? And I guess ultimately, how did that actually improve your life or your business?
Yeah, probably a personal one. Biggest, I'm not sure if failure is the right word, but just getting lost off that track of doing things that I really enjoy. Even though there's positives in that situation, there's positives all the way through it, and learnings and growth. And, you know, I'm walking out very, very with a lot of pride. But for me, the learning is just to come back and do what I love. And,
yeah.
You know, it's like I forgot what I loved and I got blindsided, or I focused on the wrong thing for a second and it took me down a path. But for me, it was just, you know, so that was the mistake, not a failure, but a mistake. And for me, it was the best way to enhance and highlight what I enjoy and where I need to be in life. So it was quite a powerful experience and a really exciting kind of, you know, next chapter to it.
And what we talk about, there's people who spend their whole life trying to avoid failure and mistakes so they never grow. And then there's people that, I guess, fall in the category, call it failure, mistake, call it exploration, learning. It doesn't really matter. But what I like is that sometimes you need to go and experience something to realize that's not really what's important to me. But you don't know sometimes unless you go and look. So I think you're referring to the last 12 months or thereabouts. So 12 months there's a lot of good that come out of it, as we've spoke about, but then it reinforced going, you know what? What's good is I know I can make anything happen.
Yeah.
You've fucking got the ability. If I want to make it happen, I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
However, reinforce for you what's probably more valuable for you in your life.
Absolutely. And it was money. Like, I'll you know, I'm more than happy to share my story. It was money. I was, you know, excited by the amount of money, and I went, and that was really important to me at that time. And I went and made the money and thought that was going to fix all my problems and make me a happier person. But in the process, it's really highlighted what is important to me. And that I guess money is important. It's an important tool, but at the same time, is it the most important? No, it's actually down my list. But as you said, I needed to go and do that.
Yeah.
But it was a great reminder and learning for me to get back to my core values, which is enjoy what you do every day.
And everyone's got their different life path, and some people, they just rank money as the most important thing at the detriment of everything else, right? Relationships, friendships, you know, whatever it may be, their own health. And that's no one's business but that person's, what they endeavor to do. I like to think you can have it all. Maybe not all at once, because maybe at some point there's been times where I've not made money, but in the pursuit of getting better skill set wise, with the faith that I know that if I do what I am prepared to do now to go without in the short term, I'll have more, where other people aren't prepared to do that. So I think there's a balancing act of going, I agree, money is important, and when I say that is like we need it. How much you want to make, I want to make, that's our own personal business. But what I like is that money's there, and you can access it whenever you want, if you've got the right skill, mindset, beliefs, all the rest of it. One thing you can't get back is, again, if you're putting that at the detriment for a long, long period of time, and you've got, you know, relationships, you've got making an impact, passing on learnings, teachings, and you haven't done that, and you're 10 in 20 years and you're looking back, that's what I consider to be probably a failure, because you've then, you've had a consequence to putting something ahead of things that aren't as important.
Absolutely.
Short term, no problem.
Yeah.
No problem. Reset. Yep. Go, yep, I figured out that's not what I want. That's not the balance
Absolutely.
For me.
Absolutely.
But reset. Well, don't just keep doing it if you're fucking unhappy and miserable. Yeah, but just the money's great. Well, yeah, but everything else in my area of my life's going to shit. He's a silly boy then. I've done it.
We all have. It's a great learning, but you summed it up well.
Well, I don't think everyone has. I think some people, they're going, I've fucking never done that because I'm just a lazy prick. Can you say
I don't know what I'd be, what I'd
Are we still prefer. Recording? Oh, we're still recording.
I don't know what I prefer, being lazy or going out to do it. Well,
but sometimes I think, then I have most of, I go, maybe it's good just lie on the beach and do nothing for a week.
I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to retire. That's my biggest takeaway from this podcast. I'm going to retire, lay on the beach every day.
Oh, well, mate.
Flat out working on my tan.
Yeah, you can do with that. Anyway, great to have you on now. If you're listening to this on Spotify, make sure you share it. Pass it on. The more people we can help, they can get in front of this information, the better. YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe so you get further updates. Any more info you want about Trainer HQ, easiest place to go to is our website, www.trainer-hq.com. Plenty of resources, information on there. If you're someone who's in business and you resonate with our message, you've been following us for a while and you go, you know what? It's probably time to reach out and start the conversation to see if there's some way that we can assist and help you with our experience, knowledge, and community, then I encourage you to do that. Other than that, mate, thanks for coming in and sharing your experience, wisdom, and knowledge with us. I'm sure there's plenty of people that are going to be very thankful that you did.
My pleasure, brother. Thanks for having me, and many more of those to come.